With our hug, being generous with our pat on the back, with our care and concern for other people. When you are generous with life, when you are giving with life, he said, good is coming to those who are generous and who lend freely, who give freely. You know what I've found? There can be a shaking all around me. There can be a shaking all around us, but somehow, I will not be shaken. I'm not shaken by the same things that other people are shaken by. You are not deterred by the same things that get other people off track. Why? Because you are living a generous life. And he's saying, I want to stabilize the ground under your feet. I want to make life a little bit easier for you because you are putting me first and you are living a life of generosity. I think the verse is telling us that doing right will never be wrong. Doing the right thing, putting God first, will never be wrong. In fact, he said, we will be remembered forever. Generous people will leave a legacy. We will be remembered forever. We've been talking in some recent leadership sessions about the cornerstones, four cornerstones of the Church Covington, and our team just getting immersed in some of this teaching. The first cornerstone is the spiritual. We've spent the last few weeks talking about the spiritual, talking about the Holy Spirit and its importance in our lives and in our services. And you can catch up and listen to that podcast and understand the cornerstone of the spiritual in this house. And then another cornerstone is hospitality. We want to have a great time here at the Church Covington. We want to have fun. We want there to be lots of food. We want there to be lots of laughter. We want there to be joy and all kinds of excitement. We want you to feel welcome when you walk through the doors. If you're a guest today, I hope you go home with your hand a little bit sore because so many people have shaken it and welcomed you and said hello to you today and feel like your cheek muscles are tired because you've had to smile at everyone. Hospitality is a cornerstone of this house. And then the third cornerstone is leadership, because we don't want to just smile at you. We want to equip you, and we want to teach you, and we want to train you, and we want to show you how to live your best life in the kingdom of God, and how to live your best life while you're here on the earth. Leadership, building leaders, not just people that sit on the sidelines, but people who are engaged and people who are involved. And then the fourth cornerstone of the Church Covington is generosity. We want to be generous. We want to do something with the resources that we have. We want to lend freely, and we want to be generous because we want what's happening right now to live beyond us. We want it to go beyond this moment, this week, this month, or even this year. We want it to live beyond us, and so our cornerstone is a cornerstone of generosity. Let me tell you a little bit about what this season looks like. Almost making a few announcements or reminding you or just kind of telling you what the next few weeks look like in terms of generosity. We've talked the last couple of weeks about Christmas Give or our Christmas offering. It is 5 weeks from today. Five more Sundays. December the 15th is when we are going to come together with our Christmas offering. I'm not talking about high pressure or emotional giving. We've been announcing it for a few weeks now, letting you know that it's coming. Why? Because I like for people to plan to give, to know that this is coming, and so I can save back, I can prepare for this, I can get ready for this. This is not going to come at a surprise, but I may have to push away from this or say no to that, but I want to focus on this because this is important to me, and this is going to be an annual thing. We're going to do this every Christmas. So literally in 2020, you can plan all year long. It doesn't have to be a hard thing for you at the last moment, but you can plan what it is that you want to do in that season. And so we've talked about some technology things. If you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, if this is the first time you're hearing about this, we give Christmas to others. We do Secret Santa at work. We do all kinds of fun stuff in this season, but we're going to bring a gift to our church. This is over and above our regular giving because we need some things. We want to do some things. We don't have a lot of commitments yet. We've not signed any contracts anywhere. But we've got some ideas, some things that we know we need to do and want to do, some upgrades, some things that are going to make our church just a lot better. And it's exciting. It's exciting to see things happen. We've got plans. We've got ideas. But hear me. What would matter the most, what would be the most significant is if there is 100% participation. If everyone would say, you know what? I love my church so much that I want to do something special. I want to be a part of the Christmas miracle. Does that sound like a good plan today that everyone would say, I want to be a part of it in some way? Sure, I've said in the last couple of weeks, I'd love to see this offering be $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. You say, Pastor Darrell, that's a lot of money. All I have is $50. You give your $50. Everybody will do what they can, and who knows what God will do. But I'm telling you, if all of us do our part, it'll be exactly what we need. If all of us participate because there is something beautiful in unity, we can make it happen. We can accomplish this. We can do this and we can do it together. And I think it's a fantastic idea and I want you to be a part of it. And then there is Thanksgiving together. Thanksgiving together is happening on November the 24th. This is a beautiful time of community. This is a beautiful time of togetherness for our church family. We really need this. This is special and this is good because it makes us stronger when we join together, when we connect with one another, when we get together in community. Last year we had hundreds of people that filled up the tab and had some of the best food that I've ever eaten. And I met your friends and met your family and met your neighbors and saw people from the church that I don't get to see every week. It's just a beautiful time. That's happening. It's a safe and warm introduction to the church for your friends. But guess what? There's even more. There's even more. You ever hear those infomercials late at night? But wait, there's more. Always at the very end, they want to tell us about something else that is possible, something else that is available. This year, in this season, we are doing Thanksgiving boxes. In this box is going to be a full Thanksgiving meal to feed a family. I'm talking about 15, 20 pound turkeys and all the trimmings, everything that goes for a Thanksgiving meal. And we are going to feed at least 25 families there Thanksgiving meal. People that need some help, people that need some assistance, people that just need a hand in this season. We are going to feed at least 25 families. And here's the beautiful thing. You've already given that. Your missions dollars have already supplied that and enabled us to do that. Isn't that fantastic to be able to feed some people and to make a difference in the lives of others? I love it. I love being generous and helping people. And you've already given that. It's about $1,000 or so for us to buy everything that we need. But you've already given that. And we're so grateful that you give each month or give every opportunity toward missions. And it is a blessing. It is a blessing. And then there's various Christmas stuff happening all throughout December. Good things are happening. Sanders family, Christmas is happening December 6, 7, and 8. You can still get $10 tickets. They'll be out there this afternoon right after service, and you can get tickets. This is dinner and a show. It's a funny show. It's a great show, and it's very, very well produced. And we'd love to have your friends, your neighbors, your family to come. We can hold about 200 people each performance, Friday evening, Saturday evening, and then a Sunday matinee around 4 or 5 o'clock. Any one of those that would work for you. Grab some tickets. Get a few tickets while they are only $10. You can't go eat anywhere in town and the food be worth it for $10, much less see an incredible show, dinner, theater at that price. If you go to a movie, popcorn is $10 all by itself. A Coke is like $29.95. You just about got to finance a Snicker bar when you go to the movies. this is $10. You can go and it'll be hilarious and it'll be a lot of fun. That's happening in December. And then you heard more about the toy drive today that Heather told us about. There's also a coat drive that's going on. We're not even asking for new coats. If you have a coat that is still usable, it's still, you know, it's still some stuffing in there, it still has some warmth and a little bit of life, it may not be something you want to wear. Maybe you've moved on to something new, but you've got an old coat that you're saving. Bring a coat. Drop it off here at the church because we're going to pass those on to other ministries and other valuable efforts that are making a difference in our community. That's happening all through this winter season, and there's more information about that. And then there is Christmas for single moms. I love doing something for our single moms. They're working hard to make sure their kids have Christmas and make sure that their middle schoolers have Christmas, or maybe their high schoolers have something. But who gives to the single mom? We want to bless the single mom. Last year, we gave them oil changes. We gave them nail treatments. We gave them massages. We didn't actually give them massages. We sent them to places, professionals, to give massage. No, you cannot sign up for that, sir. Thank you very much. If we do that, y'all won't stay single. Amen. But, man, I may be on to something. This may work. But we just want to bless. We want to bless our single moms. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. We have an opportunity to make a difference in someone's life. And then December 22nd is our Christmas service, and you're going to see our church kids on stage, and you're going to see our church youth on stage, and you're going to see all kinds of fun stuff happening on December the 22nd, the Christmas story. So many beautiful elements happening here as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. You don't want to miss any of that. You want to be a part of all of that because it is a beautiful season of generosity. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. But I say all of that to say that's what we're doing. It's what we're going to be doing. But today I want to give you a bedrock message from the scriptures. I want to tell you a truth today because I really believe this will help each of us. Because I think a lot of people are following God the wrong way. They're approaching God with the wrong attitude. And I want to help that today as much as I possibly can. You say, how are we following him the wrong way? Most people follow him out of obligation. They follow him out of this sense of duty or this have-to idea. They say things like, well, I have to give, or I have to invite people, or I have to pray, or I have to read my Bible. It's this have-to versus get-to mentality. And can I tell you today that a have-to attitude is not God's best for us? Feeling like we have to do something. If everything that I just listed a few moments ago, everything that you see on the screen right now, if you look at that and say, oh goodness, maybe I'll get sick the rest of the month and not have to come and hear about all of that because I don't want to have to do this. I don't want to have to feed people. I don't want to have to bring an old coat. I don't want to have to do that, but that's what's expected of me. If that's your attitude, something's wrong, and I invite you to come to the altar today. because something's broken inside. I should look at this and say, man, I get to do this. What? We get to feed 25 families their Thanksgiving. We get to bring a coat to people who are cold. We get to do something special for single moms. We get to pick out a toy and bring it to a child who needs a little something this Christmas. This is exciting. I want us to be a church who says, I can't wait. I am so excited about being generous. I'm so excited about giving. I'm so excited about being a part of the miracle. I'm excited. I can't wait to have my lost friend in church with me over the next few weeks. I can't wait to give so that our giving can make a difference. I'm excited about being generous. I think there's a place for sheer obedience, but God doesn't want you to stay there. He doesn't want you to get stuck in an attitude of obedience only. God wants you to fall in love with Him. God wants you to do what you do out of delight and not duty. Church should be enjoyed and not endured. It should be something that is beautiful and not embittering, something that is difficult. Look at Philippians 2 and 13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. I love this verse. God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. That means that God will work your will, my will, to become like His will. From the moment we say yes to Him, He is trying to change us, to change our nature. I say it all the time. You don't have to change your personality to come to Jesus. You don't have to change your emotional makeup to come to Jesus. You don't have to stop being who you are. But I guarantee you, He will work on the things, the way culture has shaped us, the way wrong attitudes have shaped us, the way wrong desires, passion, sin, whatever has shaped us. He will work to change us. In other words, if we've been raised to be very selfish, well, the Lord is generous. So when we get saved, He's going to immediately start working our will to become like His will. He's generous, so He wants us to be generous. For God so loved the world that He gave, and He loves us so much, and He wants us to love other people so much that, guess what? I love the world so much, I love my community so much, that I want to give as well. He's working on my will. And that's not just something I want to teach to you, that's something I want to lead you in, to show you the joy of making a difference. And by lead, I mean by example. I'm never going to ask you to do something that I do not do myself. I'm not asking you to give a Christmas offering and me not sacrifice as well. My family is going to sacrifice. We're going to give. We're going to do something significant. Why? Because we want to lead the way. We want to do the same thing that we're asking you to do and live that. But hear me. This is still not my idea. This is a Bible idea. And I want you to see that this is a Bible idea. Just as I wanted us to understand what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, and I believe that was so important and so foundational and monumental for our church. We're going to look back on this Ghost series and we're going to say that was the series, that was the teaching, that was the message, that something began to turn, something began to build, something began to happen. We're going to see, just as that was important, this message of generosity is just as important, and I want you to see it biblically. What it is that God says about generosity. Look at the greatest offering that was ever given. It's in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. David is saying, look, I know they're building the temple, what would become known as Solomon's temple, this first beautiful and gorgeous and ornate and magnificent temple. I don't have time to go through all the details that went into the building of this edifice, this architecture, the expense. It was incredible. Their attitude was, we're building something for God, and so it's going to be the very best we possibly can make it. And David was so moved, the Bible said that his affection was set to the house of God, meaning there was nothing more important in his life. There was nothing of greater value in his life. There was nothing that mattered more to him than the house of God. That doesn't mean that his family didn't matter to him. That doesn't mean that his own personal affairs didn't matter. His own personal business didn't matter. That's not what it's saying at all. It's saying the thing that was more important to him than anything else. That means other things can be really important, but this is the most important to me, my affection toward the house of God. In other words, God's house is not somewhere I go occasionally. It's something I'm committed to. It's not just an idea that I entertain now and then. It's something that I am sold out to. He set his affection to the house of God. He loved his church. That's what I believe the Lord is looking for, is dozens of people, hundreds of people here at the Church Covington who say, I love my church. Oh yeah, everything in my life, this is important, that's important. I'm building here, I'm working there, I'm investing over here, I'm getting that together over there. But oh, when you bring up my church, there is something inside of me that just explodes with excitement. There is something that just causes me to smile from ear to ear. Why? Because I am so thankful for my church. I'm so grateful for what God has done in my life. This is not plan B, this is plan A. This is not just an option. If the weather's good, if everything lines up and falls into place the week before, no, I'm getting to the house of God no matter what happened last week. I'm invested in the house of God no matter what comes up unexpected. I love my church. I love my church. I love my church. And if you study this, there was a requirement level in the Old Testament. It was something that was expected of them. But David said, hey, forget that. I'm going over and above. I'm going beyond what is expected of me. I'm going beyond what someone thinks I'm going to do. I'm going over and above. That's why our Christmas give, it's over and above our regular giving, because we want to keep maintaining and doing what we have to do weekly, and our obligations and all of that is important. But this is over and above, so that it's extra, it's lanyap, it's something beyond what is necessary so that we can do something great with it. That's what David said, I'm doing it over and above. And then you get to verse 6, he says, now who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today? I really think he's saying, now who else is willing? I'm leading the way in this. I'm doing this by example, but who is willing to join me? Then, verse 6, the leaders of the families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work, the Bible said they gave willingly. They gave willingly. It wasn't compulsion, it wasn't coercion, it wasn't arm twisted up behind their back. They gave willingly, when they saw that their leader, when they saw that their king, when they saw that someone was willing to do so much, they said, hey, we want to be a part of that. We want that same attitude, that same willingness, that same heart to give in us as well. Why is that important? Because God is looking for it. He's looking for you and I to do our part. There's no other way around. God expects you and I to do our part to make his house function and work. It just does. It's a reality of the word of God. But hear me, God doesn't just want us to do it. He wants us to want to do it. I'm moving from have to get to. I'm graduating from have to it's my privilege, it's my honor, it's my joy to support the work of God. Not I'm filling out this envelope, and I mean we can almost see the pen marks, the anger. Ugh, my name is, and I don't like doing this, and just, you know, it just comes in all wrinkled up like you just, you know, had a whole fight with this thing and ran over it a few times and threw it out the window and went back and picked it up. Sometimes that seems like that's the attitude. But what if I would get so excited about my opportunity to give, my opportunity to serve, my opportunity to make a difference? What if I would approach it with the attitude of, man, this is not something I have to do. This is something I get to do. I want to do this. 2 Corinthians 8 and 12 is powerful. It says, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable. If the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable. If God loves a cheerful giver, if we bring our gift with just, oh man, I can't stand this. I'm not saying we won't spend it, but it sure is a lot better when people come in and say, this is so great. I love doing this. This is so fun. But how do we get that kind of heart? How does that happen? Where does that willingness come from? I'm going to tell you this, our passion comes from clearly defining our why. Because our why, W-H-Y, our why motivates everything. It motivates everything. Our why informs every what in our lives. Everything that you are going to do today is going to be motivated by something. Where you go to lunch, what you do in the afternoon, what you do tonight, what time you go to bed. I'm going to bed at 9 o'clock. Why? Because I've got a meeting early in the morning. Our why motivates all of the what in our lives. So hear me carefully when I say this. If I lose my why, I'll lose my way. If I lose my why, I'll lose my way. And some of us have perhaps lost our way because we have lost our why. Maybe your marriage is in trouble because you forgot why you married that person. Maybe you're not enjoying your job because you forgot why you applied. There was a day you prayed for that job. There was a day you begged God for that job. I can't tell you how many times, Pastor, please pray. I've got an interview. Please pray I get this job. I got the job. This is so exciting. This is a God thing. And 6 weeks later, please pray I get another job. What? What do you mean? We just prayed you'd get that one. What do you mean? Well, I don't like the boss. I don't like the coworkers. I don't like the task they're giving me. Went through the training, it was great, but then I got out of the training and they gave me my uniform and I don't look good in it, so I need another job. No, we lost our why. Maybe your relationship seems cold. You lost your why and therefore lost your way. There was a day you were grateful. There was a day you were passionate. There was a day you were overjoyed about serving his house and serving his cause. What happened? You forgot your why. Can I call someone into this room today back to your why? Back to the reason you did what you did. The reason you built what you built. Your why informed your way. So why should we be a part of all this making a difference stuff? At the end of the year, you know why? Because we get to be a part of it. We get to be a part of shopping for a toy, bringing it, seeing it light up a smile on someone's face. We get to. But let me give you five reasons very quickly. I'm gonna move very, very quickly. Five reasons we get to give. You can write these down. You can take notes, and this will help you. You can tuck them in your Bible, tuck them in a folder where you keep them safe, because you'll get challenged. Your attitude will get challenged. Your motivations will get challenged, but you can always go back to one of these five reasons. The first reason we get to give is Jesus gave to us first. Jesus gave to us first. God sent his only son and asked him to give everything for us, to forsake it all, to give it all. Why? In hopes that Daryl would receive him. You know what? I still have not gotten over my salvation. I'm still moved by it. I'm still motivated by it. I'm still impassioned by it. I'm still excited about it, that he saved me. Why are we looking so ho-hum? Why are we looking so depressed? Why are we struggling so much as saved people? Maybe we've gotten outside of our why and we've lost our way. But hear me, Jesus gave to us first. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 8, freely you have received, now freely give. The thing that ought to motivate your giving and my giving is the fact that we have freely received so much for him. So I think we have to remind ourselves of how much he's done for us. When we see other people in need, when we see other people broken, when we see other people hurting, we have to remember seasons, days, maybe years, months, weeks, in our own lives that we were broken or struggling or in need. And we remember how much has happened to us. And it causes us to want to do something for someone else. Maybe we need to fall in love with Jesus again and find our why. And let our why inform every what that's coming in our lives. Number two, it's fun to give. Jesus gave to us first, number one, but number two, it's fun to give. Acts 20 and 35, Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The word blessed is makarios. It means giddy, happy, excited. I told you someone came in with a donation here just a few days ago, a week or so ago, and when they came and handed the check in the envelope, I didn't even know what it even was, just handed an envelope, and all of a sudden a big smile came on their face, and they said, that feels so good. That feels so good. And their smile made me smile, because I thought, if they're smiling that big, it must be something really good in here. So I'll smile, join you. Why? Because giving is fun. It's fun to give. When you get to hand a coat to someone who's cold, it's fun. When you get to give toys to kids who otherwise would not have it, it's fun. When you get to bless people, it is fun. Can we get excited about giving again? Because here's the reality. God has put this fulfillment factor inside of each of us. And then he attached it to making a difference. And the only way that place in my life ever gets fulfilled is when I do something for someone else. When I give to someone besides myself. Winston Churchill said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. It's the truth. If you don't like your life right now, if you don't like the season you're in right now, I challenge you to find ways to be generous. Find ways to give to someone. What is that going to do? Let me tell you, selfish never saves or satisfies. When I hoard all of God's blessings, when I'm shoving it and hiding it and just filling up, and never giving any of it away, selfish never satisfies and it never saves. Number three, we're in covenant with God and with each other. It's one of the reasons we get to give. We're in covenant with God and each other. God has this master plan for the earth. And the method by which he is going to accomplish that plan is the church. It's the truth. And here's the deal. He groups people relationally. Why? Because there's strength in numbers. So you thought you just went to this church because you liked it. No, you like it because he put it in your heart to like it. Because he needed you to like it so that you would come join in, connect to the vision, and say, you know what, I want to be a part of making a difference here. He grouped us relationally. It's the reason we're all together. You say, well, I don't know about that one person over there because I don't like them. You don't have to sit down at Thanksgiving with them. You don't. It's all right. There's all kinds of personalities in the room. Sometimes they clash and conflict, and that's okay. But he groups us relationally according to our strength. And what I realize about this house is that he's grouped us in such a way to make a massive difference in this community. Massive difference in this community. A massive difference in this community. Tell me to say it again, God, and I'll say it again. He's grouped us to make a massive difference in this community. God, I just felt my help walk into this room. I'm not talking about years ago. I don't know anything about years ago. Honestly, I don't. I don't know what the attitude of this house was towards giving. That's why I'm teaching you what the Bible says, because it's not about previous pastor's idea or founder's idea or any guest that stopped by and said this or that about giving. Let's talk about what the Bible says about giving. And if he's brought all of us together, I refuse to be narrow or myopic or just really inward focused or even incestuous. I know that's not a pleasant word, and I don't mean it with any perverted thought, but just very inward, only thinking of ourselves, only taking care of ourselves. No, we've got to look out to the hills. We've got to open up the doors and say, where are they? Who are they? Who needs what we have? What can we do to make a difference in someone's life? Because he put this church here in this community, and everything that's tried to destroy it, and everything that's tried to take it down, and everything that's tried to close it up, it hasn't been able to, and yet here we are. And so, Lord, we got our mojo back. We got our Holy Spirit power back. And we are ready to make a massive difference in this community. I thought a grown man might stand on their feet and shout, amen. That's why the devil attacks our relationships. Because if he can get you isolated, only thinking about yourself, you'll never fulfill the purposes that God wants you to fulfill. Because your full potential can only be reached when you find your covenant family. Here's the deal. Hear me. I'm going to go against what every pastor teaches. It doesn't have to be here. I want it to be here. I hope this is where God brought you. But you may be new here, and you've said to me, hey, I'm praying about whether or not this is where God wants us. And I didn't respond and say, well, whoo, we're going to try to twist God's arm. No, I said, okay, we're going to pray about that too. Because if this is where God wants you, perfect. But if this is not where God wants you, miserable for you and for us. Well, I'm out there on a... The goal is greater. The goal is greater than our number on Sunday. The goal, the reason, our why is greater than our number on Sunday. And you know I like numbers. Every number represents a name. Every name is a soul. But the number is greater. The reason, the why is greater. So if this is not your covenant family, that's all right. We will help you find where you need to be. There's many, many wonderful churches all around. But hear me, what God is asking us to do, what God is calling us to do, because when you find your covenant family, when you connect to this covenant family, when you join this army of people who serve and people who love and people who worship and people who give, when you connect to this family, something powerful happens in your life and in the life of this house. Psalm 92 and 13 says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. If your life is flailing, if you feel like a reed blowing in the wind, if you feel like you're just drifting along, blown about by every wind that comes your way, it may be because you're not planted. If you can establish some roots somewhere, if you can get planted somewhere in the house of God, I'm telling you, you're going to see your life grow up strong. You're going to see your life stand up straight. You're going to see your life and everything in it come into order and alignment and agreement. Why? Because those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. You have something that can only be realized when you connect with other people. Ephesians 4 and 9, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Hear me. Last point. None of us are as good as all of us. None of us are as good as all of us. When we come together, powerful things happen. Number four, we believe in the purpose of the local church. We believe in the purpose of the local. Remember, Jesus gave to us first, number one. It's fun to give, number two. We're in covenant with God and each other, number four. We believe in the purpose of the local church. This church, the church, is God's plan to reach the world. Ephesians 3, 8 through 10. If you read it in the message, it says, through followers of Jesus like yourselves gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known. How does it happen? It happens with Him redeeming someone like you, connecting you to a church, and then that church becoming known in the community. Not because they have the best sign, the biggest building, the most manicured landscape, because they are making a difference. I met someone in the community the other day. Important somebody. Hello, sir, my name is... He said, I know who you are. You're pastor of that church. I'm still not quite sure what they mean when they say that. I don't know what y'all did before I got here. I don't know if y'all tip your servers, parking handicap when you're not supposed to. I don't know what you're doing. Let me tell you what I want to be known for. I want to be known that when there's a need in this community, that church is first in line. This church is first in line to make a difference, to help people, to bless those who are in need. Does anybody else want to be a part of that? Anybody else want to do that? What has the church done? I know everybody loves to beat up on the church these days, but what is the church done? Listen, I'm talking about the capital C, the global church. No single group in history has contributed more to education, has contributed more to health care, has contributed more to the welfare and protection of children, has fought more for human rights, or who has contributed more to charity. That is the church, ladies and gentlemen. They lead the way. Long before we depended on politicians, long before we expected them to enact new laws, it was the church, it was a preacher that stood and cried loud and spared not, and communities turned because someone was preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, Trump, listen, whoever's coming next, listen, every politician in town, we are going to be the church. We're going to declare his word, we're going to declare his truth. We're going to say yes to Jesus and watch the devil run in fear at the power of the church. No, I'm not running for an office, but I will preach what thus saith the Lord. It's popular to beat up on the church, but Christ loves the church. The church is God's plan to reach the world. Take the church out of the world and you'll end up with chaos. The local church is the hope of the world. I'm closing, but I got one more, and it's my favorite. It's the final reason we get to give. Number five, one day we get to meet Jesus. One day we get to meet Jesus. And I want to prepare you for that. I want to get you ready for that. That day, that moment. What does it look like? I have this picture. This scenario, if you will, of how that moment plays out. What it's going to look like. Get called in. Come around the corner and see him. And immediately start talking, oh Jesus, I love you so much. And he says, wait, let me go first. You did it. I'm proud of you. You did what I asked you to do. No, Lord, me again. No, Lord, it was my honor. And he's saying, no, I'm talking right now. Listen, I gave you a dream. I gave you a great family. I gave you a great church. I gave you those tri-counties. All those cities, towns. I gave you those good looks. He's going to say it to me. Just watch. And you did it. You did something with it. That was my hope, that you would use what I gave you to get people to follow me. And he says, hey, I've got something for you. The word is apodidomai. Means rewards. The Bible says that he is coming with rewards. He's going to pay us back. I mean, everything you're giving now, everything that you're doing now, everything you're sowing now, you think that's in vain? No. The Bible said he keeps good records. He knows what you've done, and he's coming with rewards. I can't imagine how I'm going to feel in that moment, because it's going to feel wrong. I didn't do it for that reason. I wanted to go to heaven, but it wasn't about a crown, an award, a reward. I did it because I loved people. I wanted everyone to experience the same joy of salvation, the same peace of your presence. But he says, I want to say thank you for doing your part. Matthew 25 and 23, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, but I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Listen, one day, I don't know when, no man knows the day or the hour, but one day, you're going to get your moment to stand in front of Jesus. He's going to ask for an account of what you've done and what I've done with all that he did for us. And I want to prepare you for that moment. I want to be ready for that moment. Hear me, if you're discouraged today, there's more to this life than this life. Whatever you're going through down here, maybe it's a disease, maybe it's pain, maybe it's crisis. There's more to this life than this life. There is the life that is to come. And I challenge you, don't miss next week or the next. Just right on through the end of the year. So many good things are happening. And the next couple of weeks, I've got so many good things to tell you. But hear me, the first gift that you give to God, it ought to be the gift of your life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, all across this room, maybe trying to figure out, what do I have to give? What can I do? How can I make a difference? Start today with saying yes to Jesus. Start today with giving your life to him. Sometimes people mistakenly think they can give their money and it will substitute for their heart. Sometimes people erroneously think they can make a donation and it'll satisfy the longing in their spirit to have a personal relationship with God. Far more than your money, God wants you. And if he gets you, he'll get your money. So you might as well give him your life. Maybe you're in this room today and you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus, or maybe you're in this room today and you have, and you know right what I'm talking about, but you've just gotten away, or you've lost your why, and it caused you to lose your spiritual way. I call you back to the why thing that is most important in your life. I want you to pray with me today, wherever you fit, whatever speaks to you. You may have your own words. You may know how to pray. You may need to borrow mine, and you can do that. But something along the lines of, Jesus, I'm sorry, Lord. I don't know how I lost my why. I don't know where it went. I just know I looked up one day and I didn't know where I was. I didn't recognize myself, the way I was thinking, the way my heart was beating. Today I want to come back. Today I want to get prepared for that well done, good and faithful servant moment in my life. I want to steward. I want to manage this life well so that you can bless me in the life to come. I repent. I'm sorry. I seek forgiveness, restoration, renewing today. Today my life will be different. From this moment, my life will be new. Old things are passed away. And today, all things are made new. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Can we give Jesus some praise around the room?